I just started programming back in Russia. And that was the first year when I really tried coding in C. And I was like, oh my God, like I can do this my entire life. I think that's the moment I realized like that's what I'm going to be doing. And then I got here and I didn't get into any university or college yet. And I was like, well, shit, what do I do?
I'm Alex Bloomberg, host of the podcast Startup. And you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
My name is Esprit Devora, born and raised LA, and I created We Are LA Tech in 2012 to unify the community. Podcast launched in 2014, continuing to help people find the best talent, to connect with each other, to form awesome relationships. So proud of the show. Enjoy. Today's We Are LA Tech podcast episode shout out goes to Abel Hernandez. Abel Hernandez, thank you so much for engaging with us on the We Are LA Tech Instagram. We appreciate you. Be sure to say hello to Abel Hernandez on Instagram at Abel Product. That's A-B-E-L P-R-O-D-U-C-T. Tell him you found him via We Are LA Tech. Join thousands of people in LA Tech on our We Are LA Tech Facebook group, where you can discover events, job opportunities, and even housing. Go to wearelatech.com/community. We'll take you straight there. That's wearelatech.com/community.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and I'm just at the Santa Monica Stairs. Focusing on recovery, I gave almost like a master class at Outsight last night in Venice. If you guys don't know Outsight, they're a nomadic living environment around the world with these really cool houses and co-living amongst like-minded people who are entrepreneurs and creatives. It's really, really cool. And I did a podcasting intimate experience called the... I wanted it to be like a podcasting roundtable, and it was just really, really cool. I find that I feel most connected to small numbers of people, which is, you guys gather this from the We Are LA Tech Experience Club. I really love those intimate settings, so I much prefer an experience with, you know, 8 people over like 100 something where you just get lost in the crowd. I don't know about you, but I feel socially awkward sometimes, or maybe just like too much. And if it's a bunch of people, then I don't know just how to operate or who to talk to, or sometimes it's a little bit intimidating. And when it's just a small number of people, I feel like, I don't know, it's like this kumbaya experience where we all, you know, create the energy together. Anyway, so knowing that I exerted so much energy last night, making sure that I take time for myself to look out for me today and recharge. That's a little bit about my day. I'm really excited for you guys to check out the next We Are LA Tech episode. If you have any questions, always feel free to reach out to me at Esprit Devora on Twitter and on Instagram. And I will talk to you guys later. Enjoy the episode. Bye.
Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast, celebrating LA tech companies and talent and showcasing the best of the best so you guys can quickly immerse yourself into the LA tech community and culture. And recently I discovered an awesome new show called Broke But Not Broken, and we have the co-hosts on. Hello.
Hello. So my name is Kirill, and I've been working in the startup community full-time for a little more than a year. And me and my brother were also hosting a new podcast called Broke Not Broken, where we discuss startups which failed with their founders or the insiders, and figure out the reasons why they failed, and like basically we do the analysis of the failures.
Yeah, my name is Konstantin Dubovitsky, and I work in finance. So as Kirill said, we're hosting a podcast called Broke Not Broken, where we actually look at the dark side of the startup industry. While all the medias are screaming how this can lead you to be a billionaire, multi-billionaire, etc., we tell you how it can turn you into a homeless guy. Not literally, of course, but I mean, you get the point.
And you guys have even done a hackathon together. Tell me a little bit about that. When was that? How long ago?
That was actually, I think, a year ago. We've cycled through three projects since that. I mean, the side projects, you know, that we've been trying to get off the ground. And that first one started at a hackathon. Was it LA Hacks?
Okay, Angel Hacks.
Angel Hacks, but in LA. Angel Hacks is hosting a lot of hackathons in different cities around the globe, and we just went to the LA one. And what we've built there was essentially a software which you were able to dial any phone number, and we would transcribe your speech into text and then synthesize it, and then actually you would have the conversation not with your own voice. So basically it's anonymity-oriented software. And we presented there, and we got some VC guy invested, interested. Yeah. There's just two similar words, you know? So he was interested.
Hey, invested, interested, same thing.
Almost, you know, that's what we thought.
One's just missing the money.
Yeah. So he got interested, and we decided to keep pursuing the project. And that was the project that kind of like started us into the whole like community of we started going to the meetup. I mean, we're going to talk about more of the stuff, but that's the first project.
Yeah, talk about it. Go for it.
So yeah, it was just the first project. You know, we were really excited because we thought that we're definitely getting the money. Like that was what was on our minds, that we're going to get. We were shooting for like around like 100 to like 150K, like the seed funding from a VC guy, like personally. So it was already like somewhat crazy looking back at it. It was a little crazy hopes, but that's all we knew. You know, we heard the guy. We had a couple of meetings. He seemed to be still interested, and he made a couple of promises that, you know, you're gonna do this, and then you're gonna get essentially the initial seed, so you can build it out completely. And then how it all ended, I'm just gonna cut that project, which is I built the application for iOS, and we tried releasing it to the App Store, and they declined us, saying that we basically cannot according to their policies.
Right.
And I mean, go figure, like we call from a unknown number with a like robotic synthesized voice. There's like no way essentially to track who called it.
Right.
There's no way to like say, you know, to prove anything almost. So, and they in the rules, it says that you cannot do this.
And how did you feel being in the hackathon, and what kind of activity did you do to help propel the project forward?
Actually being at the hackathon, that was literally my first hackathon that I participated in. And as Kirill already said, I got there by an accident because his friend dropped out. And it was my first presentation on stage in front of like maybe 50 people. And I nearly got a heart attack. So it was kind of a fun experience. And then how I helped the project move on, first of all, I was keeping in touch with the investor, trying to figure out what the hell did he expect us to do. Also, I was in charge of getting to the accelerator program, which was provided by Angel Hacks again. So I was basically just communicating with all the people that supported us. And by that, I was supporting us.
And tell us about Broke But Not Broken. Where did that idea come from?
So this idea initially came from Kirill, because he's the one who's generating a shit ton of ideas. And I'm the one who is actually converting them into something sensible. So Kirill just kept talking about making a podcast and about how podcasts are the trend now and we should get involved into it too. And then I just figure out that making something like Broke Not Broken and discussing startups that fail would be interesting for us and maybe interesting for other people, because I haven't seen someone else doing the same thing. So we just started from that point.
And I did come up with the name too. So that's my generation.
He came up with the name. That's true.
I like the name. And obviously with your accents, you're not from here. So when did you move to LA and from where?
So yeah, we moved 4 years ago. We moved from Russia, Moscow.
Did you move here with your parents or just both of you?
With parents, yeah.
And first of all, what has it been like to be in LA, and how has the LA tech community supported you in becoming the developer you are?
When I first got here, I started my journey off in iOS development.
Right.
So the way I got started, I just started programming back in Russia. I've been programming there for a year. And that was the first year when I really tried coding in C. And it was just in my university, and I really enjoyed the data structures course. And it was like pretty hardcore, meaning that like they really explained us a lot of like very fundamental stuff. And I was like, oh my God, like I can do this my entire life.
Yeah.
And that's when I think that's the moment I realized like that's what I'm going to be doing. And then I got here and I didn't get into any university or college yet. And I was like, well, shit, what do I do? Like, I kind of remember, like, I really enjoyed coding, so let me just do that. But I don't really want to write, like, command line applications that are just, like, really doing nothing and just for my joy.
Totally.
Like, I want to do something useful. And I went to and did the course on, I think it was, like, Treehouse or something.
It's definitely not.
And they have a couple of courses, and somehow I landed there.
Right.
I have no idea how I landed there, but I landed there. So I really liked that course. I got into iOS development. And then I started going to meetups. And that's how I found the first project to work on in that space. And I mean, then I got into college, then it kind of slowed down a little bit. And then I'm back into the development. And then once we went to that hackathon, that's when the startup actually bringing the projects from, oh, I had fun for like a couple of days to, okay, screw this, next.
Yeah.
That's when we switched to kind of like trying to actually find the product market fit and like try to get investment.
And you just had a meeting with a venture capitalist. What do you think people who aren't in finance are missing in talking to people of finance? How is the conversation different? Like, what are we missing in talking if we don't have a financial mind, if we're more the creative or the engineer, but we're not the finance person?
Stick around. We'll be right back after the break.
The best business resource I have is my mentor's private Facebook group. I've never found a community that cares more about one another's success. It inspired me to create the same thing for podcasters. If you're a tech company or startup looking to grow your podcast audience, I created GetPodcastListeners.com, a private group specifically to discover how other podcasters have grown their audiences so we could do the same. Check out GetPodcastListeners.com. That's GetPodcastListeners.com.
You just had a meeting with a venture capitalist. What do you think people who aren't in finance are missing in talking to people of finance? How is the conversation different? Like, what are we missing in talking if we don't have a financial mind, if we're more the creative or the engineer, but we're not the finance person?
I haven't really being to many of such conversations where people who are not in finance talk to finance people, to VCs. I only saw how my brother does it, and it's just awful. The problem here is that since he doesn't know anything but coding, pretty much,
that's
he starts getting into details of the project that he is developing. He talks about what code is he using, about all the software that he's trying to develop, and just all those programming super extra unnecessary details.
Right.
And he's missing one major point. He doesn't tell anything about the project itself. So, yeah.
So what should we be saying? What does it look like to have an effective conversation?
It's pretty hard to summarize everything that VCs are looking for in just a couple sentences, but pretty much you need to show both your go-to-market strategies and your longer vision. So they're looking for both ability to look forward and understand what are you expecting from your project in like 5 years, and also to understand what are you going to do with your project tomorrow.
Right.
So it has to be the combination of the long vision and the short vision of tomorrow.
Definitely. And you have a full-time job now in the tech world. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and what that's been like?
I work at Pet Exchange, and we're a real estate discounted brokerage, and we are the competitors to Redfin.
And how did you even find it?
So this is interesting because I've been mentioning meetups, and I just went to one meetup with actually another brother of mine, and I just got really involved into this conversation about this one language I really like, which is Elm, by the way.
Elm,
yes.
Nice. That's,
so I've just been playing around with it, and I was just talking to some other developer.
It's a coding language, by the way, just in case. Yeah.
I was just talking to another developer about it, and the girlfriend of the current CTO of my company was passing by, and she heard Elm.
Yeah.
And she knows that he's interested in Elm.
No way.
And
that's
she's
so
like, hey, go talk to this guy. And he comes up, and he just kind of like joins the conversation, and we just start talking, and he's like, hey, by the way, we're kind of looking for interns. Like, I'm having a very hard time developing all this shit.
Yeah.
And I think I got hired like within a week, essentially.
And now, are you still an intern, or have you escalated out of intern status?
I've moved from internship after the first quarter because I was still in school when I was doing that. And so I moved to the first part-time.
Yeah.
And then full-time, I've been doing this for about half a year.
And what's your role? What's the name of your role?
So my role is a cross-platform mobile developer.
And do you love it? Like, do you feel like a kid at a candy store that you get to work on this every day?
Yeah, pretty much. I really like the language specifically that we're using. And also, I like both the front end and the back end. So, like, I think I don't really have much care on, like, what part of the project to work on. Basically, as a developer, I think almost like any task, you can make it fun.
As long as you can be involved. Yeah.
If it's not the same task all the time, which is pretty much, like, never the same,
yeah,
I'm fine. Like, I'm chilling at work, you know, I'm having fun.
And what's your favorite part about working with an LA tech company?
What I like is that I really was looking forward to work within a company where we're using very new stuff, like very new frameworks. And we are using very like cutting edge stuff, which is very interesting for me to work with. I've never had experience with this specific language. And we're using F Sharp, by the way, for the front end. And the language has a couple of features that no other language currently has. Maybe they do, but like not to this extent of support. Yeah. For me, it just kind of blows my mind because I was like, well, everyone has to have this. You know, after I tried this, it's kind of like I will probably have trouble going from this language to others because I'm going to be missing those features. Using them brings me joy.
Cool. And then does your brother working in tech inspire you to want to get more involved in the tech world? Being on the now that you've dabbled in our hackathons and gotten a little taste of the culture?
That's probably right. He initially inspired me and now we're just like both inspiring each other. I don't know how to say that properly, but right now we can just like work individually. I would still work in startup field. So even without my brother.
Totally.
Which hopefully will never happen.
I mean, you guys are co-hosting the show. It's Broke But Not Broken. No, Broke Not Broken.
Yeah,
Broken. And how can we find the show?
Just YouTube, Broke Not Broken. And I think ideally you want to merge all the words, you know, because that's how developers name things. You know, you just have a solid thing with
no
like
spaces.
Camel case or like underscore, whatever. Yeah, there's no space.
And what kind of guests have you had on so far?
So we're not disclosing their names again. First our first guest was the founder of coders.com. Maybe someone of you who are listening to this have been coding a long time ago because this company bankrupted back in 2008. It was actually not bankrupt. It was acquired by Black Duck. And this company had over 30,000 daily users and still failed. So this case was just super interesting for us to
discover.
That is
interesting.
Yeah. And another one, I don't remember the exact metrics of the company, but it was pretty big as well. And it's still bankrupted because of the lawsuit from Craigslist for over $60 million.
Whoa.
For data scraping. So it was pretty intense as well.
So these are all companies that you would think were on the path to mega success and then just like lost it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really interesting. So it's not just your typical like startup failure. It's they weren't a failure and then somehow it didn't work out anyway.
Yeah.
It makes me think, what's that company? Is it Ship? I think it's Ship. You know, S-H-Y-P? I feel like that's what it was called. It was a San Francisco company and it was amazing and they scaled too fast and had to go out of business. Yeah. Or even in the old days, there was a music company called Tower Records and they did really well and then they scaled internationally too fast. And so they ended up losing all their stores. And it's just really interesting when you think that like success is like on lock and then it's never actually on lock.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I always like to ask, is there a tech company or person you've come across recently for both of you? And you could answer individually that's really impressed you. It could be a company, an app, or it could be a person that you've met.
It's actually a pretty cool company called ExactNote.
ExactNote. Sounds really familiar. What do they do?
They're doing web annotation. You're just researching one topic.
Right?
You create a folder in your personal account. Let's say flowers.
Yeah.
And then you go through all those articles on the web and you highlight, just click annotate and it automatically puts it into that folder.
Yeah.
And after you're done, you can share this folder with another person in your team who is researching the same topic and just doesn't want to go over the same articles to find the same exactly things that you found. It's just one of the implications.
And where are they in LA? Do you know?
Santa Monica.
In Santa Monica?
Yeah. We see the founder every Sunday at LA New Tech Meetup.
LA New Tech Meetup.
A great person. I just love him.
And it's exactnote.com?
Yeah.
Cool. And what's one that you've come across?
I don't think I remember his name. That's first of all. But most of my like recent network updates has been coming from the same meetup my brother has mentioned, which is LA New Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting how he said that he went from the biggest companies to like the smaller companies.
Right.
So meaning that he started off like working at Google, then like scaling down a little bit. And then he ended up being like one of the very first employees at a startup that has grown. And he is a developer. And it was just interesting to see this like approach to the career.
Yeah.
Because like I need to think about my career as well. You know, like how do I decide to distribute between like the company sizes, the company stages? Like do I want startups? Do I want more like established businesses and blah, blah, blah. So it was just interesting to listen to the way he did it. And unfortunately, we only had like one conversation. But I mean, that's just the person, the local person who I think about, except for the CTO of my company.
And we'll include all the notes to this, to the meetup and to ExactNote in the show notes. So be sure to check there so you can check. Speaking of, where can people find you? Where, how can they connect with each of you? Are you on Twitter or LinkedIn or?
For us, you can just Google my name and it will show up my profiles on LinkedIn.
Can you spell your name for everybody?
It's KONSTANTIN. DUBOVITSKIY. I'm sorry for it being so long. I'm just Russian, you know.
We'll include it in the show notes. Yeah.
So yeah, there are some notes, some of my articles about the financial crisis that I see upcoming.
On your website?
No, it's actually on, on Medium. That's right.
On Medium. Okay, yeah. Cool. So we'll include your Medium link there. And how about yours?
So I've been just thinking to like write an article forever, but all my articles and ideas for articles end up on in my Google Docs, but never posted, never finished. I mean, I have a GitHub, so I don't have like too many. You know what? I've been working on this.
Are you on LinkedIn?
Yes, I am on
LinkedIn. Okay, so people could reach out via LinkedIn?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you spell your name for everybody?
KIRILLDUBOVITSKIY.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the We Are LA Tech podcast. If we could do anything to support you in your success, what would that be?
Just criticize the podcast, goddammit.
Do not criticize the podcast, please. We're good with Chris. You know, we would like to hear some news stories about failed companies. I mean, we get some guests, but mostly people are not really happy to talk about their failures. So it's kind of hard to find people to talk about sometimes.
And then also some people who claim like very interesting story, it ends up being without revenue.
Yeah.
And like we've tried like a couple of projects and we don't feel like it's worthy talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's not like, it's just like you were not struggling, exactly. You know,
totally.
Like that's it.
Totally. Totally. And if people are the right potential guests, where should they connect with you to apply?
Just message me because Kirill doesn't really read his messages or email or anything else.
Sounds like every developer.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm on the financial side. So please contact me. You have my name probably.
Yeah.
Just reach out to me and we'll chat.
Perfect. Thank you so much. If you guys want to connect and collaborate with more incredible people in the Los Angeles tech industry, be sure to go to the We Are LA Tech Facebook group. At the We Are LA Tech Facebook group, you can see all the amazing events, awesome job opportunities, and even housing with other LA tech people on the Facebook group at wearelatech.com/community. That's wearelatech.com/community. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
My name is Kirill. I work on the project called ghostrhymer.com, and we're trying to help upcoming artists to come up with the text for their songs. I'm located in Santa Monica.
My name is Konstantin Dubovitsky. I'm the co-founder of ghostrhymer.com, which is a project that helps you create rhymed lyrics, and also a co-host at Broke Not Broken, located in the Valley.
And you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
Join thousands of people in LA Tech on our We Are LA Tech Facebook group, where you can discover events, job opportunities, and even housing. Go to wearelatech.com/community. We'll take you straight there. That's wearelatech.com/community. We're so proud of what we've created with the We Are LA Tech podcast. To be a part of our journey with us, if you'd like to donate, go to wearelatech.fm. That's wearelatech.fm, and you can find our donation link at the top right of the page. Thank you so much for supporting us in our journey and helping fuel us moving forward for each and every episode. The We Are LA Tech podcast is hosted and produced by me, Esprit Devora,
with help from Janice Geronimo,
edited by Adam Carroll,
show notes by Carl Marty,
music from Jay Huffman Live and Epidemic Sound. The We Are LA Tech podcast is a WeAreTech.fm production.